the First Draft Podcast with ESPN experts Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay and Field Yates, keeping tabs on all the latest in the NFL draft, is now twice a week, every Monday and Thursday. And also check out Monday's show on YouTube as well.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Rex, pressure bust pipes. And sometimes it doesn't come down to the decision of the players. It comes down to the decisions of the coaches. And I expect coaches to be 100% because they're not out there getting hit. They're supposed to understand the situation. That's why Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won so many Super Bowls, is because when the pressure was hot, they made the right decision. And I tell you what, Sean McDermott is going to kick himself in the butt. Leslie Frazier is going to kick himself in the butt because they won the game 13 seconds to go. And they had an opportunity to kick the football off, understanding that the opponent that you have has three timeouts. So three timeouts gives him three plays from the 30-yard line. All he has to get really is 40 yards. And then they play this don't touch nobody coverage. But why did they not kick a sky kick and make one of the fat dudes from the Kansas City Chiefs return the ball, which they probably would have returned it to where, Rex? The 30-yard line, but they would only have one damn play left.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the ones that you talked about, Leslie Frazier, the D coordinator, McDermott, the head coach, both of them should be kicking the special team coach in the ass, because to me, that's absolutely absurd. And right when you do it, just squib the damn thing down there or sky kick it. Either one, I like to squib it, because if a guy touches it, feels that he has to field the ball, and now he's going to carry it, and it's going to take at least, like I say, they only had 13 seconds left. They're probably going to have one play left. You can't get the field goal team on a damn field. I don't care if it's 50 freaking yards, 70-yard kick. You ain't going to have time. So, yes, I know exactly what you're saying, Bart. It was an absolute stupid decision by a coach. However, this was one of the greatest games, and we'll be talking about this game for years and years and years. Two of the best quarterbacks that we're going to see these dudes for the next 15 years, hopefully. And this was crazy. Three lead changes, right, within, what, the last 2 minutes of the game, or, like, it was crazy. 25 points scored. Mahomes and Allen, they combined for three passing touchdowns, 220-some yards passing in the last two freaking minutes. Like, this game was amazing, an absolute, instant classic game, Bart. And I hope that, and here's the thing. People that are coaching up in the game are going to be like, what the hell did it do? Not squibbing the thing. All right. And then there's going to be other people say, we got to change the NFL rule, Bart, in overtime. But no. I say yes to both of them. I say, let's enjoy this game for what it was. One of the greatest games we'll ever see, and enjoy it that way. Don't focus on the damn negatives. What do you think?
I mean, this is going to be one of those things where those people that try and make those arguments are people that don't know nothing about football. They couldn't coach their way out of a wet paper bag. There's going to be all the people that's non-football people. I want to see both stars touch the ball. No, it is the most fairest thing ever, because it used to be you can lose by a field goal. But the fact now that if you score a field goal on the first time, the advantage actually goes to the other team, because they know they have to get a field goal. They know they have to go for it on fourth down. So this is the fairest thing. We're not going to change the rules because coaches can't coach their way in tight situations. That is a Buffalo Bill problem. I tell you what, when they go back, they're going to kick themselves, and there's no guarantee that they get back, right? It's no guarantee. Yeah. I'm sure Tennessee yesterday thought that they get back as well. Now, listen, Josh, Josh Allen did everything that he was supposed to. He took advantage of a porous defense. The crazy thing is, the better team is the Buffalo Bills. When I say team, I'm talking about offense, defense.
Right.
Quarterback push, right? Defense advantage. You talk about advantage Buffalo. You talk about skill players. I think it's close to a push, but you get advantage to Kansas City. So to me, the better team lost. And it's because they are trying to fight their way up and punch above, where they've been, and to try and overcome this team that psychologically they can't beat. That's what it is. It's psychologically, because they don't know how to make the right plays at the right time. And I think it trickles down to the coaches as well.
Yeah, I just think that everybody just assumed the game was over, and I'm like, 13 seconds, just whip the damn thing and let's move on. But you're right. The better team, I thought, was Buffalo in this game because of that number one defense. But here at the end of the game, especially in overtime, you know, you don't have to be horseshit on defense. Just keep the team out of the end zone, and yep. you're going to win the ball because that team can't stop you. And to me, I would I mean, I love to play on defense. Let's go. You don't have to give up a dang touchdown, and yet it just looked like, you know, unfortunately, the winner of the coin toss was going to win the game because both these defenses absolutely were atrocious at the end of that game.
No, Rex. Let's go back to the setup to get to the field goal. Why mm-hmm. not go with a three-man rush and bring in an extra DB to kind of jam Tyreek Hill, the other to jam Travis Kelce. That way they don't have this easy access. The last one was just basically, it might as well have been a handoff. It might as well have been warm-up at 7-on-7 because the other DB was trying to stop him from going outside, but they had timeouts. This is all good when you have timeouts, the situational football, the red 88 defense has to change. So why not bring in an extra DB? Like, because if Mahomes runs around, that's a good thing. If he has to buy time to wait for somebody to come open, that's a great thing. So once again, it goes to the right thing. Leslie Frazier, a great defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He choked. Because that's where you go with a three-man rush, because it don't matter. It's not about trying to get to Mahomes. It's simply about how are you gonna get to Mahomes with a four-man rush if there's nobody touching Kelce? If Kelce's in the slot wide open. How what does it matter how many people you have rushing the ball? It doesn't matter.
You know exactly. There's no way in hell we would have rushed four. I can assure you that. It's the dumbest thing ever. But the other thing is, even a three-man rush, you can lock one player and still play your traditional zone defense if that's what you're comfortable with. But you're certainly going to lock Kelce. And I would have looked at playing a two-man rush and locking both Tyreek Hill.
Yes, yes.
Playing your zone coverage. Like,
yes.
These people are absolutely – but I saw San Francisco do the same damn thing the week before against Dallas and almost blew the game with a four-man rush. Like, that was – we talked about that last week. Like, here's a guy, a young coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, has no clue how to finish a game. Well, that's because he lacks experience. Leslie Frazier has experience. What are you doing, Leslie? Obviously, he played for my dad or whatever. You come on. Like, there's ways of closing games out. Why, you know, did Bill Belichick win all those games? Because he handles situational football better than anybody. And unfortunately, we praise the hell out of some of these coaches. But at the end of the time, judge the coaches by how they do in the biggest moment of game, situational football, and they came up short.
I would have had a two-man rush. It was a great game. Andy Reid goes back and Patrick Mahomes' legend grows, right? See, this was an opportunity for Josh Allen legend to grow. At some point, we're going to forget this game from the standpoint of Josh Allen, and he did everything that he was supposed to be able to be the hero so we can be talking about how he defeated, because we know the winner of this game always legend grows. The loser becomes forgotten after a while, right? And it is not a given with Joe Burrow coming up in this division. It is not a given with Lamar Jackson being able to come back that you get back, right? This team, and you understand, $250 million for Josh Allen is eventually going to start making him lose teammates. So it is not, listen, when you think about guys like Justin Herbert, and all those things. Is it me, or does it seem like all the best young quarterbacks are in the AFC?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, holy cow, Bart, you look at it, you touched on it there, Justin Herbert with the Chargers, Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City, and now you got Josh Allen. Like, these three are amazing.
And Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's coming in next week.
Four of them all in the AFC.
And like, do we talk about Lamar Jackson, who's won an MVP? Deshaun Jackson is in it. Deshaun Watson is in this division.
Right.
And we don't know if he's going to be traded within his division if, you know, all his case. And I hate bringing him up because it kind of puts a downer into it. But he is probably the most talented if you put him in a mix back in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't know if he's as talented as some of these young cats, but he's certainly up there with them. But it is amazing, like, remember before, who's going to replace all these quarterbacks? Well, look at it now. It's better than ever. Like, these quarterbacks, we never seen anything like this. I've only been in the game for 30 years and never seen anything like this.
Organized Chaos.
Now listen, now you know we talk about the young guys, right? Mahomes, young guy, right? We talk about Josh Allen, young guy. Now, I don't know if this is an opportunity, Rex, for me to kind of give you the opportunity to kind of apologize to one of the older guys that you've been down on the entire. Listen, anybody that listens to Organized Chaos knows who I'm talking about and knows that you've been down on Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
But oh man, did he put on a show. And I don't know if he's going into one of these Joe Flacco trances where he just locks in and does and has clean football games. But man, it was not his fault that this game was close.
No, I tell you what, Stafford, like, he passed the test. He had to prove it to me and anybody else that knows the game that until you get the monkey off your back, you're going to be Andy Daltons of the world and people like that that have never won a playoff game. You never get the respect because you and I have been in a lot of playoff games in our career, okay? We know how different the playoffs are. In the playoffs, some people show up, come up short, and others don't. And Matthew Stafford had come up short three previous times at it, okay? And now he gets the win, and I thought it was a brilliant job by Sean McVay.
Sean McVay, yeah.
15 passes the first game. All right, this time it was on this man's shoulders, and oh, my God, did he perform.
I mean, you talk about that last play, right? I mean, we'll talk about later how we got there. But that last play, I mean, I think they're saying that, everybody didn't have the call. That's what I'm talking about. People freeze up when the game gets tight, right? It's always somebody has an excuse. I didn't hear the call or this is a bad play or he slipped. I mean, you talk about Stafford fading away and his arm strength. We talk about him before when he was in Detroit, about how many fourth quarter comebacks that he's been a part of. And we never give him credit for it because it's about if those are regular season games. But, man, you talk about being down and credit to Sean McVay. He was like, oh, hell no. I am not about to go into overtime with terrific time. I've seen this movie before. We still got time on the clock. We are going to try to get in position to win this football game. And he put it, his arm strength fading away, put it only where Cooper Kupp can get it. And what a performance by Cooper Kupp. I'm sure he would say this wasn't his best performance because of the turnovers. But, man, you talk about this kid, showing up. I mean, 183 yards receiving, Rex.
Yeah, no, he's unfreaking believable. But here's another game that was totally mishandled. Like Stafford, like there's no timeouts left. The Rams had no timeouts left. Hmm. So how in the heck, like Bart, we've seen a lot of things, snapped in our day. You've got Cooper Kupp lined up on the line of scrimmage. They're going to run a switch release. He runs the vertical. Okay, they're trying to hit the dagger by the number one receiver outside. Basically, fans, what that means is they're going to be a deep in-breaking route. That's the one they hit.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's clearing out.
And he's clearing out. Nobody's going to throw the clear out. And Stafford's like, the hell I'm not. And he puts it up there. I mean, if you run this thing, if you see this play run in the NFL 100 times, this will be one time they throw the dang clear out.
And you know what's crazy? I think he throws the clear out because he sees the slot blitz, which he knows that means that it's not two man. They're not going to get hands on Cooper Kupp. That means that he's got one on one with Winfield, who's a great safety. But man, he's not keeping up with Cooper Kupp with unabated. Like, I can understand that they would have jammed Cooper Kupp and then blitz. The guy blitzed, let him go, and Matthew Stafford seen it. Maybe they haven't been paying attention. Maybe Todd Bowles didn't pay attention to the fact that Matthew Stafford is the number one quarterback in the NFL against the blitz.
Against the blitz and in man coverage also.
And they gave him both.
Right. He gave them both.
They basically gave him cover zero.
Out the gate. And one of the – like, remember when I killed Greg Williams – a couple of years ago running a cover zero and all they got to do is just make a tackle in the game.
Minnesota.
And it's like, no, they were playing. It was the Raiders against the Jets.
Okay.
To lose the game is like a 60-yard pass or something. I'm like, it's the dumbest damn call I've ever seen. This is no different. This is the same damn call. Now, it's the same call. And it just, and to me, it was crazy. But that's another game that you're right. Matthew Stafford had that thing, that game of his life. And my gosh, was he clutch. Here's the crazy thing. If please, let's not give the ball to that damn Akers anymore. I remember when he was Florida State, I watched him as a five-star recruit out of high school. And every time I saw him play, he fumbled. I'm like, what do we always say, Bart, about fumblers?
Once a fumbler, always a fumbler.
Once a fumbler, always a fumbler. And my God, that dude right there, Game Elijah's a good runner. He can do all that stuff. When in games like this, park his ass.
What was wrong with Sony Michel? Sony Michel, like, he had fresh legs. I would have gave him the ball. But I tell you what, this brings up something totally different. I thought this was the first time, and I said it in my Barstool Diamonds predictions. I said this would be the game that they missed Antonio Brown. Amen. Because you think about Ramsey, and I know he gave up the big pass to Evans. What the hell was that? I mean, they thought they put him on an island. They rolled coverage. They rolled coverage to Scotty Miller. they rolled coverage to Miller. You talk about guys freezing up, man.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the one thing. There's just over 3 minutes left. So whatever you do, you damn sure don't let the ball get thrown over your head. You're up by two touchdowns. Boom. The ball goes over.
You run. You roll covers. Where did Scotty Miller deserve three people? God. Even the backside safety, the corner, the front side safety, and the backside safety all open up that way. I mean, listen, you couldn't put Ramsey on a bigger island. I understand he's capable at times, but why at that time would you do that? It was it is some dumb decisions being made in clutch situations. But I tell you what, Barstool Diamonds also said that I believe that this was the last we see of Terrific Tom. I think this is when he hangs up. Because what team can they put together? That's the thing. Everybody ran it back. Everybody gave up money. Everybody sacrificed. You got to let Ndamukong Suh go. It's a lot of guys. Chris Godwin, you can't pay him. He's injured. So who knows when he comes back. So I don't think they can put the team around Brady that he would want to come back. And I think seven is enough. And I think this is the last we see of him. But, man.
Yeah. And Art, you know what? And the guy has absolutely nothing to prove. He's proved it all. And here, the fact that he gets his team back in this game, like ties this game up. How the hell did he do that? Brady, we know him, man. Until there's triple zeros on that clock.
Yeah, he has a horseshoe up his ass. Rex. The football guys always bless him.
Yeah.
I mean, Cooper Kupp never fumbles. He fumbles. Cam Akers fumbles on the 1 yard line. He's built for comebacks. Yeah.
Yep. And then let's face it, Stafford damn near fumbled on the first play when he got the ball back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he ends up seeing two men. He tries to take off with it through the middle, damn near fumbled.
But it also brings up another point, though, Rex, because, you know, now I think guys like Todd Bowles has to get a little selfish. Guys like Byron Leftwich has to get selfish. And because they aren't going all the way to the Super Bowl, I think they have an advantage over the other guys that got looks at head coaches to be able to be brought back in to kind of win over, win over the because, you know, we know that organizations want to get their head coach hired fast because they're afraid that other people are going to get them. And the longer you make somebody wait, as far as if you're still playing, the better chance you have of one of these other guys getting it. So I think if Byron Leftwich is gone, if Todd Bowles gets hired, why would Tom Brady come back to that mess? Right. And that's how you break down. That's how you break down dynasties, right? You hire their coaches away and steal their players. I think guys will still be active to try and sign Chris Godwin. And I think, you know, the era is over in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And Godwin's coming off a major injury, and you know, Antonio Brown's out. So, But you're right. You bring up some really good points there. I think the coach that's going to be gone is Brian Daboll. I think Buffalo loses Brian Daboll. I think he's the guy over all those other guys that you mentioned. And the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, they lost, but he may win because he's going to get his head coaching opportunity. So I agree with you on that. And the thing with Tom Brady, like, hey, good riddance. If he chooses to walk away from it, I mean, good, you know, it's what an amazing career. If he goes, now does Bruce Arians walk out? Like, you never know. Like, you know, so to me, it's probably going to have a lot of ripple effect.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady does walk away from the game.
Can we go to Lambeau Field? And you talk about the offer. You talk about having somebody's number. I mean, This was the time where A.A. Ron, and listen, does A.A. Ron and the way he played in this game, does his reputation of not being the baddest man on the planet as quarterback, but as far as being a great winner, because it seems like he doesn't mind coming up short. He doesn't even look disturbed or bothered. You know, we see Tom Brady going crazy when they're losing. He just stays calm and collect. And once again, they win the division. They're the number one seed, and they're sent home packing in Lambeau Field, where now they're 7-7 since Michael Slick, a.k.a. Michael Vick, beat him in 2002. And how crazy is this? For 30 damn years, Rex, 30 years, the Green Bay Packers have had Hall of Fame quarterback play and two championships to show for it out of 30 years of having two of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. Two titles.
Yeah. It's just amazing. And that's the thing where, you know, what is Aaron Rodgers' legacy going to be? Well, his legacy is going to be one of the most talented, gifted throwers of the football in the history of football. And, you know, a great player. He's been an MVP several times, three times or whatever. But you know what? He does only have one championship. And the same could be said, like another great one, Dan Marino. So their legacy, he's going to be down there with all the greats. But you know what? He'll never be considered the GOAT. And the GOAT has seven Super Bowl titles when he only has one.
I mean, he won't even be mentioned in that upper echelon because I believe that it's Tom Brady number one. And then you get down and it's Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know, Joe Montana.
Well, you've got Elway's got two.
And Elway.
Manning, you've got all the
Troy Aikman. We don't count, even though he has three. We don't count Troy because we believe like his numbers weren't great, right? We didn't think we were seeing great football play.
I know how good Troy Aikman was. Troy Aikman was every bit the player these other guys were.
Yeah, but Troy had never been.
He was absolutely amazing. But you're right. All these guys will come back and. You know, nobody will mention Bart Starr. All Bart Starr did was win two Super Bowls and five other NFL championships. So nobody even mentions him.
Yeah, nobody mentions Terry Bradshaw, right? Terry Bradshaw won four, but we believe it's about the defense.
All those guys, but
it's unfair. It's unfair, Rex. But we know that it's Tom Brady, Joe Montana. Then you get to the John Elway and Peyton Manning type of discussion. And I think Aaron Rodgers, that's why I think he definitely leaves. They're $44 million over the cap.
Right.
Davante Adams out of there, he's out. And I think he goes and runs to Denver. I think he runs to Denver so he can get his other title because he's just as aware of that. He thought he was going to sneak one this year and then go get another one from Denver the year after, then put him in rarefied air. But, man, I tell you what, it's crazy. But I tell you what, the same thing that make you laugh and make you cry, Rex, their special teams was horrible. Horrible. Like, I would go – I wouldn't let the special team coach back in the building. I would mail him all his stuff.
Yeah. Before we get on and skip over the Aaron Rodgers, if he goes to Denver, he's the third best quarterback in that division.
Oh, man, but you talk about how great that division is, though, with those weapons. But you talk – but he may have the best team.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, here's the funny thing. You know, right there in his division, all right, that, you know, with the Vikings.
You don't think he's as good as Mahomes?
Oh, Rodgers the best. No, you're going to put him if they with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert? I'm not.
I would. If he's in Denver,
I'm going to tell you why I won't do that. All right? Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. But 20, you know, 10 years ago I put him in there, but not now. Okay, he's much older.
He's an MVP.
No, he's MVP, but Bart, let's look at the numbers. All right, when his line protects him, in other words, they win every one of their matchups. Aaron Rodgers is by far and away the number one quarterback in the league. All right. He threw 31 touchdown passes and one interception when his offensive line won their matchups. When they didn't win their matchups, he's 26 in the league. So if one guy misses, he's 26 in the league. What did you see in that game today? Was that Aaron Rodgers? Was that Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so. You know, and so to me, I'm just saying, back in the day, absolutely, he's in that conversation.
So you're saying that this Aaron Rodgers right now was the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs don't win, aren't better.
No, I say the guy with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, Patrick Mahomes, is a better player than Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely, 100%, I'd say that.
Well, listen, we shall agree to disagree.
That's fine, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'd damn sure rather defend against an Aaron Rodgers football team than a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, I can assure you.
Well, Josh Allen's a different monster because of his ability to run the football.
He's a beast. Yep, he is an absolute beast. But how about this, though? Let's take a look at the Packers. And I tell you what, I got credit for their coach, Matt LaFleur, and here's why. At the end of the game, what did Matt LaFleur do? He put it on himself.
Yes.
Most guys don't have the guts to do that anymore, Bart. They don't. And here's the thing. Number one, he's going to put it on himself, but he better fire that damn special team coach. You've got a field goal block, a punt block, a kickoff return for 60 yards. And by the way, to end the game, you rush the kicker with 10 guys. Come on.
Listen, is Deebo Samuel going to be the high? What kind of contract does he get? He has to get $20 million plus.
I would. Look, if he does so much for that football team. And how about the game? So they're sitting back going, okay, the game's on the line, 3rd and 7. What are you going to do? They run the football with a wide receiver.
That's so disrespectful. That's so disrespectful.
But you know what I'm saying? And he ran right through him like poop through a goose. Like, oh my goodness, this dude is so clutch. It's not even funny.
You know, but this is what I'm concerned with. Yeah, I know they've had the Rams number, but man, they are banged up. And listen, we know when you play those type of games, the residual effect of it is that it's felt like weeks later. Right. So like they had a tough game with Dallas. They kind of ran them over. But, but this game, I mean, Trent Williams went out and I know that they'll play, but I just don't know how effective they will be in playing. I mean,
Bart, you're exactly right. All of them, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Garoppolo, every one of these guys is nicked, Deebo, and they're all nicked up, even Bosa. And so here's the thing that is really crazy. This team will have played this game when they go and travel to the Rams. 7 of their last 9 games will be on the road. Now, you talk about tough. That's about as tough as it gets. This team's resilient, but I don't know if they can overcome it either, Bart.
Yeah, you talk about mental toughness, man. And I know they just beat this team a couple of days ago, but this team is fresh, and I think Cam Akers makes them a little bit different, man. It's going to be crazy. You know how you play that game of musical chairs? And, the people left without a seat? Well, we kind of knew that, the worst quarterbacks was probably going to get eliminated. Week one, it was, Jalen Hurts. It was Derek Carr. This week, Ryan Tannehill. Now, when you look at all the players left, and I know we're going to talk about the other two games, but when you look at all the players, who's my fish? Jimmy G is the worst player left. And, when you have the worst quarterback left, oh, it takes a Herculean effort from everybody else. So it's going to be exciting to see that matchup next week. I tell you what, Rex, let's tile off. I'm still a little hot from the Bills stuff. I'm still mad from the Bills stuff.
I hear you. But, Bart, don't we know it? Like, you can have everything else, with a check mark. But if you don't have the quarterback, man, is it hard to win playoff games, especially advancing, from the championship game to a Super Bowl. And we found that out.
So I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Let me tile off. Let me woo side out from this whole not kicking a sky kick or not kicking a squib kick. And let's come back and let's reset. I'll be better. I'll be less emotional, Rex.
I'm with you, Bart. It was one of the dumbest things I ever seen.
Organized Chaos.
All right, Rex, I've done my namaste. So welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Joined as always with Rex Ryan. Oge Renge Ka, Rex. I know we didn't touch on this game, and it deserves to be spoken about. Let's talk about Cincinnati going into the Lions Den. King Henry, I thought they forced the ball to him too much, and they got out of rhythm. And I think it cost them, and it cost them mightily, because they had him running the ball in situations where I think Foreman should have been running the ball because he had a lot more juice.
Yeah, he did. And unfortunately, you know, the King just never had the gas. He really didn't. And it's unfortunate. And you're right, Foreman, the four carries, he was popping big runs. And he just, you know, the one that really got me was when Henry tries to bounce it outside. Should have been, we've seen him break that thing for 20 yards at least. Yep. And he's tackled right on the line of scrimmage. And it's, he, you know, I appreciate him being a tough, a warrior type guy, but he just didn't have any juice, Bart. You're right. But one group, I tell you what, one group that had juice was that Tennessee defensive line. Nine yes. quarterback sacks and Joe Burrow, and they still don't win the damn game. So to me, it's, you know, why did they not win? Because of Ryan Tannehill. When King Henry can't run it and the play action, nobody's going to look at your play action when you can't run the ball. And when that's not available to him, he's just a guy and we know it. So if you can get him in the drop back game, Tennessee really had no chance, and he proved it. Three huge interceptions in that game, and it just was too much to overcome for Tennessee.
I mean, you throw a pick on the first play of the game. Was that an omen? Was that an omen of things to come? And I think, come on, man. Eli Apple, of all people, that's the dude that sends you home? Oh, Eli Apple? Yeah, I didn't even know he was still alive, let alone in the NFL.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, besides Eli Apple, who never made a play for the Giants, we get all that stuff, or the Saints, or whoever. But who the hell were they throwing to? I saw some dude's name with a hyphen. I'm like, A.J. Brown. Where the hell is A.J. Brown? At the end of the game, it's about players. And if I'm going down, throwing it to A.J. Brown. Not this dude that yeah. nobody even knows who the hell he is. And to me, but that's typical of a quarterback that doesn't get it, doesn't understand the moment. And unfortunately, that's what we saw from Ryan Tannehill. But Joe Burrow, one thing is, I'm happy as hell to see it. And Bart, how about next week's game? Sunday, 3 p.m., Bengals yes. at Chiefs. What the scoreboard should start at 30 and keep going. We call
these games defense optional.
Right.
I mean, and if you want to give an advantage to defense, you might give the advantage to Cincinnati. I think they're the better defensive team. Spagnuolo, I don't know how he gets away with, like, his defenses being as bad as they are. I mean, the best thing about his defense is Patrick Mahomes puts up enough numbers so that they can play for the lead half of the time. But, man, like, I don't know, man. Like, they play good in waves, but
– this is a guy that is up and down his whole career. He gets by with – remember, he won the game against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, albeit when somebody drops a ball and all that stuff, but they got to win. So the guy's done it. He's won a couple of Super Bowls, I think three Super Bowl or two anyway as a coordinator, but he's also been dead last in the NFL. His units have been dead last in the NFL. So that's kind of what he is. He's kind of up and down as a coordinator, but you're right. Patrick Mahomes saves this team. This team struggles on defense and, you know, quite honestly, I mean, they're not there by their defense. They can say, well, the last part of the year, yeah, okay. Well, what are you just going to throw away the first eight games when you were absolutely horrendous in the playoffs, the same thing? Like, come on. This is going to be a scoreboard that Cincinnati is going to light up that Chief defense and, of course, vice versa with Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, we hope that Tyrann Mathieu, he'll probably be back by then. He'll recover from a concussion, you know, in a week or so. I'm sure he'll be fine for that. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I do like Melvin Ingram and the pop that he gives them. I mean, he's very disruptive. You know what I mean? I like what he gives them. He gives them a little balance. Chris Jones, you know, Frank Clark's, you know, on the side. So they can rush the passer. And I love that kid from Missouri. He's one of my favorite linebackers in the draft, Bolton, because he comes on. He's just a productive hit stick. know, but it's gonna be a lot when you think about how T. Higgins is playing, Jamar Chase is playing, and Joe Burrow. And the thing is, you can sack Joe Burrow a million times. He proved that that's just like a loss of down. He don't care, right? He showed that he has enough to say, okay, well, you sacked me last time. I still can pick up, you know, 3rd and 13. I'm not afraid of 2nd and 12. It doesn't matter, you know. So it's gonna be interesting because I think the Bengals are ahead of schedule. But man, in the offseason, they're going to have to upgrade that line because he won't last long, man. You know, he'll be a supernova.
And for the fans that are out there, well, that was just an anomaly, you know, the 9 sacks. No. He got sacked more than any quarterback in the league. And they were 31st in out of the 32 teams in pass protection rate. So they're horrendous. That offensive line is still horrendous. But Joe Burrow, you're right. He gets sacked, he does whatever. Here's the thing. He's a quarterback that doesn't fumble on sacks. And that's the thing. He protects the ball when he gets sacked. And that's why he does that stupid spin that he does all the time. But at least he's not giving the ball up. But you're right. He's still a special quarterback. And I can't wait to see this one, man. Another two young guns going at it. This is going to be an awesome game. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, we were together, you know, for 3 years in a row, and we went to this game. We fell short. You know, we kind of ran out of juice. You know, it's going to be a lot, you know, for them to go into Kansas City and win with Patrick Mahomes looking like he can get to his third straight Super Bowl. Just between you and me, the Super Bowl that I want to see is Chiefs and Rams, just simply because you talk about how great that Chiefs defense is. I mean, that Chiefs offensive line is. Well, going against Von Miller, who I think is rejuvenated, going against, you know, Floyd on the other side, Aaron Donald on that side would be a hell of a matchup. And then Ramsey being able to try and match up against somebody. It'll be interesting to see, you know, but sometimes we never get what we want in basketball. We've been waiting for the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. We haven't gotten it. I won't see Matthew Stafford, you know, because that's what I picked. I think these are the two teams I picked to be in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, the two underdogs for sure has got to be the 49ers and the Bengals. How do you see this game going?
Yeah, I think with the 49ers going against the Rams, and Bart, we had talked about it earlier, about the 49ers have owned this matchup six. They've won this game six times in a row. So you got to think, man, they got the juju on these guys. They know how to play them. Unfortunately, they are beat to hell. And Bart, you talked about it. We got our teams in that situation to be in championship games. But by then, we were put together with the team.
Mask, gorilla glue and masking tape.
Tape and Tordal, and that's it. And to me, that's what this team's going to be on. And at the end of the day, you can't move. Like, after a while, guys just can't move. And they can't perform in seven games on the road out of their last. I just think it's going to be so tough for them to overcome it. And the Rams are hitting now. You talk about this, that defensive line has been absolutely on fire. And so, you know, with Von Miller and the Floyd's one of the most underrated guys, in the league. They got him from the Bears. Like, well, how the hell, like, what were the Bears?
And it's wasn't Robert Quinn out there with the Rams, and he only had like 15 sacks this year. I know he's like, listen, we appreciate Floyd, but man, Quinn is going off.
Yeah, but Floyd was unbelievable. Even like the year before, he was unbelievable, and you could do so many things with that kid. And I just love him. I just, you know, to me, these guys got legit players all over that damn defense, and so it's going to be a challenge. Jimmy G, I just don't see it. Yeah. He can't throw the ball outside the numbers, you know, and that's when I get on guys with a pea shooter arm. Pea shooter arms get you beat in these type of games. They can't throw the ball outside the numbers, and he kind of hangs it up there, especially in the red zone. that's something that – and he struggles on the move. He doesn't buzz his feet when he leaves the pocket. He's not accurate on the move, and so that's something – that if you can force this guy to throw the ball wide and get him outside where he can't throw the ball in between the hashes or in between the numbers, he struggles. In between those numbers, this dude is really good. So I think that's going to be the game plan for the Rams. We'll see how it goes. Now, obviously, they got to stop the run, But if Deebo Samuel, he can't run the ball 10 times a game. He's hurt. He's beat up. So, you know, I think it's not a great matchup this time around for the 49ers.
You know what's the crazy thing, Rex? I don't know why anybody don't have an automatic when Deebo's in the backfield. Like an automatic blitz, like how we used to have Dolphin and Flipper, like where we change to a certain defense where we slant and bring an overhang guy that's unblocked to be able to secure the edges and then stuff the middle, because you know they try and do the little cut up. They got the outside zone and inside zone. Why not have automatics? Like he's back there, have automatics.
They don't have automatics because they don't have the coaches. They don't have the schemes. You know, back in the day, Bart, we grew up differently. And
We had a barbecue chicken dad. We'd have had an automatic to that. And they would have thought they knew what we were doing, and we were switching. Yeah. Okay, we're playing it this time. This time you crash. This time I overhang. That way the cutback's not there. There's no cut up lane. And you got heavy guys coming there, bringing the extra safety when he comes in there and blitz him off the edge and night-night him and hit him low too. Chop them knees up.
Oh, but we never taught that, Bart, did we? But you know what? You would pour some damn hot sauce on him is really what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. He definitely – he'd be down there getting choked underneath that pile.
Yes, sir.
So I tell you what, man, Rex, I tell you what. I think we should end it on that, man. I think we should end it on that. We previewed the last two games, man. I think we all jacked them on Mountain Dew. Listen, if the championship games – and I don't think they can. I don't think the championship games – can live up to the divisional round. I think we got the best games of the year. Because I think that, the Bengals are great, but they're not a matchup for the Chiefs. And I think just the 49ers are going to run out of eligible bodies. And I think that, you know, the Rams win easy. I think the Chiefs win easy. We'll see if Barstradamus is right. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I hope we see the games that we saw this weekend. But I have a feeling you're right, Bart. I do think the Bengals and Chiefs game will be closer just because that Joe Burrow's on fire right now. And that Chiefs defense, they don't scare me. So, you know, they got a good pass rush, so they're going to sack them a bunch. But they're going to get a bunch of plays against that secondary. And so I think that one has a chance to be closer. We all know they got that kicker, too, that's money. So, but we'll see. And then the other one, like I say, the Niners with their they think they could beat them, and I just don't know if they're going to be healthy. But we'll find out. If they're healthy, Bart, it'll be a hell of a lot. It'll be a heck of a game, just like it was the last time, 3 weeks ago. So I think it'll be a great game if the 49ers are healthy. I don't anticipate that, so I do give the advantage to the Rams.
All right, you heard it here. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan, and this has been the playoff edition of Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend through the playoffs until Super Bowl Super Sunday. You can catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern Time on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and you can catch Rex every Saturday and Sunday on NFL Cutdown. Now, listen, Rex, you're going to get this Saturday off because it ain't no more Saturday. So you can catch Rex Sunday on NFL and Monday on Get Up with Greeny. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. Rex, tell the people. We'll holler at them later.
Absolutely, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.